Where we're going to take our text verse from, and if you want to stand with us, we're going to read Luke chapter 6, verse 12. I'm sorry, Luke 6, verse 12, and we're going to read verse 12 down through verse number 16, and give you just a thought that God has given to me. And if y'all can give me all the volume you can there in the back, I don't feel like I've got any. I don't know if you can hear me or not. If I can't get it on this mic, I'll need it on the other one. My throat is not what it needs to be tonight. So give me whatever you can give me, okay? Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, and his brother James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, called Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. I want to draw your attention tonight to verse number 13. It says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Lord, I love you tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here and the opportunity to preach. And I pray that you'd take these few thoughts and these few moments and let us be a blessing to someone. God, encourage us in the scriptures this afternoon, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. The text before us is a simple one. Most of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture. The Lord now has a great deal of people that are following Him everywhere that He goes. With every new town that He enters into, and every message that He preaches, and every miracle that He performs, He is gathering more and more disciples. There are many people now, multitudes, the Bible says, that are following Him. And when we get into Luke chapter number 6, the scriptures say that Jesus takes a season of prayer, and after a season of prayer, he chooses and calls out 12 men from the multitude of disciples, and he calls these men apostles. It is no coincidence, I believe, that the Lord chose 12 men. I believe the Lord symbolically chose 12 because there were 12 tribes in Israel. And he wanted one preacher boy for each of the 12 tribes, typifying or signifying that he would bring the gospel to the entire Jewish people, and then he would take it to the entire world. But he calls 12 men, and he calls them apostles. That word apostle in verse number 13 means a sent one, or one who is sent. The idea behind the word apostle is someone who is sent from a foreign power to deliver a message. Or it could be that an apostle was like a messenger from a king who had been sent to carry a message. I find it interesting that Jesus called these 12 and he called them apostles. Did you know that Jesus himself was an apostle? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it said, whereby, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Jesus was a sent one. He was an ambassador from a foreign country sent to deliver a message. Everywhere that he went, he had a message to proclaim. It was the message of his Father, the message of the gospel, the message of salvation. Now Jesus has chosen 12 men that he might be able to teach them so that they could then go out and teach others. Can I pause for a minute and say that that is still the goal of the church today? Amen. It is the goal of the church to teach someone that can go out and teach someone else. You see, if I know something and I keep that something to myself, when I die, that thing that I know dies with me. But if I teach you what I know, then when I'm gone, you still have that teaching with you. And you can teach someone else. Amen. You see, when we got those young people up here to sing just a minute ago, it wasn't just because they're cute and because they sing good. It's because we're teaching them how to have church.
Yes.
Because one day they'll stand in your place and they'll stand in my place. And if we don't teach them how to have church now, they'll not know how to do it when it's their turn.
Amen.
And he chooses 12 apostles. And he teaches them a message so that they could go and teach someone else. Let me also say, and I'll just say this in passing and get to my message for tonight. God has chosen you as his ambassadors today.
Amen.
Now, let me clear something up right here. There are no modern day apostles.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
There was 12 of them. And I believe the apostle Paul could be an apostle as well. But after that, it kind of died out. You know why? Because there were certain qualifications a man had to meet in order to be an apostle. And one of them was the fact that he had to be a witness of the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
Nobody's seen the resurrected Christ today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I had a vision last night in my bed. No, you ate too much pizza before you went to bed last night.
Amen.
Amen. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 20, now then we are ambassadors. You see, we have a similar job as those apostles did. God has sent us as diplomats from a foreign land. And we are from a foreign land if we've been saved. The Bible says we're strangers and pilgrims. We're fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. We're just passing through down here. This is not our home. I'm a representative from a foreign land. Come with a message from my king. And you have been made ambassadors for Christ. You have a message to tell this world.
Amen.
You have a message. But I began thinking about these apostles. Just as Jesus picked 12 men to be apostles, we have been picked to be ambassadors. Yeah. We're messengers. But you think about these 12 men. You know, when we think about the 12 apostles, we almost, and I think we do this with many Bible characters, we almost get the idea that they were somehow superhuman, you know, that they had some kind of special ability. These were the 12 that Jesus chose to be the closest followers that he had. Surely there was something special about them that caused them to be 12 apostles. But you know, the reality is I don't think that was true. I began to think about the 12 men that Jesus chose. You just consider a couple of them with me, if you will. Think about old Peter. Peter is the first one that he mentions here in the book of Luke. It is interesting, just for you that enjoy Bible trivia, it is interesting that Peter's name is mentioned first in all of the accounts of the recording of the apostles' names. Peter always comes first. Now, I don't know why that is, but I believe that it could be because Peter was the first one to profess that Jesus was the Christ.
Amen.
And because he was the first one to profess that Jesus was the Christ, his name was listed first in all the accounts.
Amen.
Peter was given some special abilities. Peter was given them keys of the kingdom. He was the first one to preach the gospel and open the kingdom to the Jews in Acts chapter 2. He was the first one to preach the gospel to the Gentile in Acts chapter 10 and open the kingdom unto them. He had some special abilities. God used him in a special way. But you think about it, Peter was just an ordinary fisherman.
Yes.
Peter had no special training. He had no special learning that made him usable in the hands of God. Peter wasn't even a perfect man. If you study the life of Peter, and I think y'all know Peter well enough to know that Peter made some mistakes.
Amen.
He had some blunders along the way, did he not?
Yes.
Wasn't a perfect man. You think about not just Peter, but he mentions James and John next on this list. James and John. Now, Luke doesn't mention this for us, but I believe it's Matthew. No, not Matthew, but Mark. Maybe when he lists out those names of those apostles, he mentions James and John. And he said, them boys are the sons of thunder, is what he calls them.
Amen.
I don't know why he called them that, except for the fact that they were a little hot-tempered. Little hot-tempered. You know, they wanted to call fire down from heaven and just kill the whole lot of them, them kind of guys. And you know, I don't know they changed any throughout their years. James, because he was so hot-tempered, he made a good example maker when they wanted to cut somebody's head off. They took James. He was pretty hot-tempered.
John maybe mellowed out a little bit, but he didn't mellow out too much. You read the Gospel of John, and you read them three small books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and John's saying stuff that most people don't have the guts to say. He's calling people liars, and he's calling people hypocrites, and he's calling them traitors, and he's calling them antichrist, and he's calling them evildoers. Hey, he didn't calm down too much. He's still kind of hot-tempered. Yes. A bunch of lying traitors. That's the way John talked.
Yeah. Not a perfect man.
On this list, we find men like Thomas. Well, we all know about Thomas, don't we? He was a doubter. We know about Matthew. He was a publican.
Well, if anybody was looked down on this day, it was the publicans. You see, what I'm trying to get across to you is that these were just normal men who made normal mistakes, but Jesus chose these men as apostles. Why did he do that? That thought has been on my mind and in my heart for the last few days. Why did Jesus choose these 12 men? You see, I'm not sure about you, but there is a deep desire inside of me that I want to be usable in the hands of God.
Amen.
I want God to use me in some form or fashion. I'm not sure it matters which way He uses, but I just want Him to use me.
Amen.
And if there's something that made these men usable, I want to know what it was, because I want to be usable too.
Amen.
I begin to think about these men and what caused them to be usable. In my mind, I begin to think about them. I begin to meditate about these 12 men, these 12 apostles. What could the reason be that out of the multitudes that followed Jesus, He chose these 12? Why these 12? Well, I think the obvious answer is in verse number 12 of chapter 6. He prayed about it. We know that. We know that He took a season of prayer. I don't believe that Jesus made any mistakes. Do you?
Amen.
And if He prayed about it beforehand, that means that it was not only His will, but it's the will of His Father also. Amen. And I don't think the Father makes any mistakes.
Amen.
He chose these 12 for a reason. I thought of several different reasons He chose these 12. I want to give them to you quickly. I want to show you three things just kind of by way of introduction. These are not my points. And then I'll give you the three big ones. And then you can write them down and think about them, meditate on them. But I begin to think about, and I want to preach a message tonight entitled, "Why Me?" What could you do? What could I do that would make us usable in the Master's hands?
Amen.
Why would He want me? Let me give you three things by way of introduction, and I'll give you my point. I want to say this by way of introduction. Jesus chose these 12 men because these were 12 men that could take preaching.
Yeah.
12 men that could take preaching. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 66, 67, 68, it said, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. And Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." The Scriptures say, from that time many of those multitudes turned and went away. Just left those 12 standing. And when the 12 were left alone, Jesus said, "You leaving too?" And they said, "We're not going anywhere. We'll stick right here. We believe You are who You said You are. We'll just hang around if that's all right."
Amen.
But you read John chapter 6 and you'll find out what it was that made those multitudes walk away. It was not the fact that Jesus did something to them to offend them, other than the fact that He just straight up preached the gospel to them. He started preaching some things. In John chapter 6. And when He started preaching some things, it upset a lot of them. And because they got upset at the preacher, they turned and went back to the house. Let me just say by way of introduction, you're not going to be very usable in the Master's hands if you can't take Bible preaching.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
These people that all the time have a problem with everything that the preacher says, don't be too surprised, sir. Don't be too surprised, ma'am, when you don't get much accomplished in your Christian life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's multitudes going to come and there'll be multitudes go.
Yes, sir.
Because what's said behind the pulpit.
Yep.
They just can't take
Absolutely.
It. Amen. They cannot take it. You see, the reality is that it takes somebody in love with God and in love with the Word of God to be able to handle real Bible preaching.
Amen.
Bible says in Psalms 119, that great chapter, that great long chapter about the Scriptures, there in verse 165, he said, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them."
Amen. Yes.
When's the last time you got offended at the preaching of the Word of God? You might want to fall in love with that Bible before you think about that.
Amen.
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 These men were usable because they could handle preaching. When everybody else went away, they stayed fast.
These men were usable because they believed the Word of God. They did. The Bible says in John 15:15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." There it is. He said, "I've called you my friends, my close ones, my apostles." He said, "Because I've told you some stuff and you believed it." Matthew 13:11, he answered and said to them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given." You see, these were followers. He chose these men because they believed the Word of God. If a man or a woman is going to be an effective Christian worker, they're going to have to believe what the Bible says.
Amen.
A person, listen to me now, a person that is constantly questioning, a person that is constantly debating, and a person that is constantly arguing with the Scriptures will not be an effective Christian servant.
Amen. That's right.
They were obedient to the Word of God. Hey, that's right. They could take some preaching, they believed the Word of God, and then they were obedient to the Word of God. John 15:14, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." There it is again, my friends, my close ones.
You can be close to me if you can do what I say to do, he said in John 15:14.
You see, there's a difference now.
There's a difference in believing what the Bible says and doing what the Bible says.
Amen.
I can believe the Scriptures and not do them.
Right.
Sure I can. Absolutely I can. The Bible says the demons themselves believe and tremble.
Amen.
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 I can believe the Bible all day long, but that does not mean that I'm doing what the Bible says to do. Now, if you've got a desire inside of you to be a follower of Christ, a friend of Christ, an ambassador for Christ, then you're going to have to be able to hear the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and then turn around and do the Word of God.
Amen.
Until we get those things right, we'll never be effective in our Christian service. These men were chosen. I want to show you three reasons. These are my three big thoughts, and they're simple thoughts. In fact, I couldn't even find a way to alliterate these thoughts, but they're the thoughts that God gave me nonetheless. Why did God choose these 12? Number one, God chose these 12 so that they could bring glory to God.
Amen.
They brought glory to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it said, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." The Corinthian church was a church that was a church with some problems, to say the least. One of their biggest problems is they were puffed up in pride. They prided themselves on who had the best spiritual gifts and the best spiritual calling.
That's right.
When Paul even just begins in chapter 1, they're priding themselves on who the best preacher is.
Right. Yeah.
"We're followers of Paul." And this other group say, "Well, we're followers of Apollos." These group over here, "We're followers of Peter." And this group over here, they were the most holy rollers of the bunch. "Woo, we're just followers of Christ." And they were all divided over who had the best preacher.
Amen.
But now Paul writes to them in 1 Corinthians, and he begins to explain a principle to them. He says in verse 26, he said, "You're calling, brethren." He said, "I just want you to know, you're so lifted up in pride that God doesn't call many mighty men. God doesn't call many noble men. God doesn't call the hierarchy of men. Usually He chooses those
base, those lowly, those meek, those kind of downward men. He said, that's the kind of men that God chooses.
Amen.
You see, Apollos was a great preacher, but he's still a man. And Paul was a great preacher, but he was still a man. And Peter was given the keys, but he was still a man. You see, they were not used because of who they were, but in spite of who they were.
Amen.
You say, why would God do that? Why would God choose? And you understand what Paul's saying. God says, not many mighty are called. Now, he didn't say any. He didn't say any. There's a few higher up people that'll be saved. You know, leaders, political leaders, social leaders. Few of them, those can be saved, but not many.
Amen. Right.
You know what God does? God in His wisdom chooses to call average people.
That's right.
Yes. Just normal people.
Yeah.
Just blue collar people, you know?
That's right.
Just regular men and regular women. He uses them to get His work done.
Yes. Amen.
Regular folk. You say, why would God do that? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:27, he said, but God hath chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. He said, the base things of the world and which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things that are not to bring to naught things that are. And here it is in verse 29, this is, sums it up, that no flesh should glory in His presence.
Amen.
You see, God chooses base things and God chooses weak things so that He can confound the world and get glory out of what's done. It confuses the world when God takes somebody that everybody else gave up on and He uses them to get something done.
Amen.
It confuses the world when God takes a sinner and makes a servant out of them. They don't understand them. But that's what God is in the habit and in the business of doing so that He and He alone can get the glory. You know why God chose these 12 men? God chose these 12 men out of the multitudes because He knew that they were average men and He could get the glory out of their lives.
Yes.
Amen.
After the resurrection of Christ, and you turn over there to the book of Acts, those 12 boys, they get filled with the Holy Ghost. There's 11 of them. They added Matthias. You can say 12 if you want. They added Matthias, but they get filled with the Holy Ghost and start preaching.
Yes.
And when they start preaching, they start turning the world upside down. Yes. Thousands are getting saved. There's a buzz in Jerusalem about what's going on. You know, that everybody's talking about these Christians. Those of that way is what they call them. And everybody's talking about them. And you know what everybody did? They got together in Acts 2 and 7. And they were all amazed and marveled and said one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?
Amen.
Be it from Galilee was not something to brag about.
Yes.
If you were from Galilee, you was just a common man.
Yes.
Amen.
You was
Amen.
Nothing special if you come out of Galilee. And they see these men and they hear these men and they see the results of their message and they said, I don't understand it. These are just Galileans. These aren't anything special. But you know what God was doing? God was using a group of men to get a work accomplished so that when the work got accomplished, everybody would know that God was the one that did the work.
Amen.
That's it.
And I know this isn't anything profound, but Lord have mercy. God wants to use you and God wants to use me to bring glory to His name.
Amen.
And you know, often we use the excuse, we've got a bunch of them, why we can't serve God. You know, I'm nothing special, preacher. I'm just really not. I'm nothing special. I can't sing a song. Preacher, I can't preach a message. Preacher, I can't do this and I can't do that. I'm not much, preacher. Well, according to the scriptures, you are the kind of person God's looking for.
Yes,
He's been looking for you.
Yes, sir.
That I don't have much special offer kind of Christian is the one who wants to use.
Yes.
Because when He does use you and He gets something done through you, then He gets the glory out of it.
Amen.
Why did God use these 12? Because they would bring glory to God. Why did God use these 12? Not only because they would bring glory to God, but because I believe they were humble. God used them because they were humble. James says in James chapter 4, verse 10, he said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up."
Amen.
I believe that the Lord used these men because they were humble men from humble backgrounds.
Yes.
Now, they had their moments. Let's be honest. They were still men. They had their moments. But for the most part, they were humble men. James has a good deal to say about humility in the book of James, especially there in chapter 4. James, in fact, teaches us as much about humility by showing us what he considers to be the opposite of humility.
Yes.
The opposite of humility in James's book is self-centeredness. It's selfishness is the opposite of humility. You could say it pride, maybe. You could say it that way. But that's James teaches us. And James begins to teach us that a lot of the difficulties and problems that we encounter them because we're selfish.
Yes.
We're not humble. James said if you was more humble, it'd take care of a lot of the killing. James said it would take care of a lot of wars. It would take care of a lot of fighting. James even said it would take care of some of your wrong praying if you was more humble.
Yes, amen.
I can tell you when you cease to be humble, sir, man, is when you start telling God what to do instead of asking God what He wants
Amen.
To do.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wrong praying. And if we were more humble and less self-centered, we would pray a lot better.
Amen.
Yes.
There are a lot of people in the Bible that face sin because of selfishness. Ask Eve how selfishness turned out for her.
Yes.
Cost her the garden of God, the garden of Gethsemane. Because she just had to have that one piece of fruit when she could have had all the rest of them. She just had to have one more.
Amen.
Selfish. Amen. Selfish. Hey, I'm telling you, why don't you ask Abraham how it turned out when he went down into Egypt and he was selfish about his own life. In fact, now let's be honest, Abraham's the patriarch of faith. Better man than I'll ever be. But he was selfish in Egypt.
Yes.
He wanted to say that Sarah was his sister because he's afraid they'd kill him if he didn't.
Amen.
Selfish. It almost about cost him his wife, Brother Wally. He made the same mistake again, and it almost cost her again. And his boy repeated the same mistake. He saw his daddy do it, and he did the same thing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Selfish now. Hey, I'm telling you, there are others. Ask Achan how it turned out for him to be selfish.
Yes.
Amen.
Ask Miriam how it turned out for her to be selfish. When she come up to Moses' sister Miriam, and said, "There ain't nothing special about you, big boy. I don't know why you're getting all the credit, why you're getting all the spotlight. Me and Aaron deserve some of that."
Amen.
God said, "Hold up. We ain't going nowhere, and we won't move one step forward till Miriam gets right." They didn't go anywhere for days until Miriam got right, and then when Miriam got right, the church could move on. Well, we got some Miriams and some Achans and some Abrahams and some Eves in our churches.
Yes.
But if we want God to use us, we need to be humble men and humble women, humble servants of an almighty God.
Amen.
Instead of living selfish, James says in James 4:7, submit yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Amen.
We always like the end of that verse, the resisting and fleeing part of that verse. But what about the humbling part of that verse?
Amen.
Submit yourself to God. You've got to do that before you start doing any resisting and fleeing going on.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
That's exactly right. He said, submit yourself. The word submit is a military term. And it means to get under rank is what it means.
Yes.
I think sometimes we forget that He is the captain of our salvation.
Amen.
And we're just a bunch of privates. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He is in charge and we are not.
Yes.
And as long as we think that we are in charge, then God can't use us very effectively.
Amen.
In fact, as long as you're number one, God cannot be number one. God will never settle for second best. Therefore, if we want to be usable, we're going to have to be humble. Amen.
Amen.
If you would ask the Jewish people who their greatest leader was, ask them today. You could ask a Jew today,
yes,
who was the greatest leader the children of Israel ever had? And they would tell you he was a man by the name of Moses,
yes,
their great leader. the great deliverer of the children of Israel, Moses. They still look up to Moses today, and rightfully so. But you know, the Bible gives us a commentary on Moses in Numbers chapter 12. Verse 3, the Bible says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Now God chose, listen to me now, who did God use when he wanted to deliver the children of Israel? The man that would lead millions.
Yes.
Who did he choose? The most humble man alive at that time.
Yep. Amen.
That meek man.
Yep.
Moses. You see, God still uses humble people.
Amen.
Yes.
God's looking for somebody to serve him today, but he'll not use you until you humble yourself.
Yes.
That great preacher of yesterday, Lester Roloff, once said, the very moment you realize that you are humble, that you cease to be humble. I'm talking about real humility now. In the book of Judges, I believe it's chapter 6. I think that's right, chapter 6. The Bible tells us about a great judge in Israel, a man by the name of Gideon. And the Midianites have come and they've conquered the nation of Israel because of sin. And God comes to Gideon and God says, "Gideon, I want to use you to deliver my people Israel."
Yes.
And Gideon begins to say something like this, God, I don't see how you could use me. I come from a poor family, God. My family's not much. God said, "I'd still like to use you."
Amen.
He said, "Are you sure? I'm going to take this skin and lay it out here.
Amen.
If I wake up in the morning and it's dry and everything else is wet, I'll know."
Yeah.
"One more time, God, just prove it to me one more time."
Amen.
You see, Gideon never thought that God could use someone like Gideon. But that's the kind of guy God was looking for.
Right.
He didn't need another Samson at this time. He wanted a Gideon.
Amen.
And he even used Gideon in a humble way. You turn over to chapter 7 of Judges, you'll find out that Gideon's going to go fight those Midianites. He's got 32,000 men going to go with him. They're going to do some whooping.
Yep.
And God says, "Wait a minute, Gideon, you've got too many."
Yeah. Yes.
He said, "Go ask them how many of them's afraid. And as many as say they're afraid, send them home." And Gideon began to question, "You afraid? You afraid? You afraid? You afraid?" By the time it was over with, 22,000 went home.
Yes.
Afraid. Left him with 10,000. God still said, that's too many. He said, "Take them down there to the water." And he said, "Watch how they drink."
Yes.
He said, "Men that get the water and lap it up like dogs." He said, "You take them and send the rest of them home." And when it was over with, you know how many he had? From 32,000, he had 300. How could 300 men defeat an entire army? But God had a plan.
Amen.
God had a man.
Yes, he did.
He had a humble man and he had a humble plan. And when it was all over with, there was only one way the children of Israel defeated the Midianites, and it was by the hand of God.
Yes,
it was the hand of God.
That's right.
Amen.
You want to be used for God? You have to be humble.
Yeah.
Number one, they would bring glory to God. Number two, he called them because they were humble. Number three, he called them because I believe they were willing. Boy, isn't that so simple?
Yes.
I believe that he called them because they were willing to be used. Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. He said, "And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Mark and Luke both give us the names of the 12 when Jesus calls them, but Matthew doesn't. Matthew does something very interesting. Matthew gives us the names of the 12 when he sends them out for the very first time. And if you read Matthew chapter 10 and he's sending them out, he's not sending them out on the best terms. He tells them, you're going to be rejected, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be dependent. It's not going to be easy. And as he begins to explain to them how uneasy it's going to be, I don't read where one of those men ever questioned the calling of God upon their life.
Amen.
They just said, "God, if you want us to go, we'll be happy to go."
Yes.
"God, if you need somebody to go, we'll go." And he breaks them up in twos and he sends them out preaching the gospel everywhere they go.
Amen.
Yes.
Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah volunteers himself for the service of God.
At this time, Isaiah is brokenhearted. Uzziah, the king, is bound. Uzziah was a good king. There weren't many good kings in Judah, but he was one of the few, and now he's dead. And when Uzziah dies, the Bible says that God reveals himself to Isaiah and says, "Hey, Isaiah, Uzziah may have left his throne vacant, but I've not left my throne. I'm still here." And he said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Now, we usually think about Solomon's temple when we think about that, but the Bible didn't say that was Solomon's temple. It could be that God rolled the heavens back and showed him that throne and said, "See, Isaiah, I'm still here. I'm on my throne, although Uzziah is not on his." And when Uzziah died, it caused Isaiah to do three things. It caused him to look up. He looked up and saw God. He saw that God was still on his throne. He saw that God was still reigning. God had not left his throne. God still had plenty of glory. And Isaiah got to see it. And when Isaiah looked up, it caused him to look within. He saw the Lord, and it caused him to evaluate his life. He said, "Woe is me, I am undone.
Yes.
I am unclean. My lips are unclean. I dwell among the people of unclean lips," he says. You see what happened? It was with Isaiah saw the Lord. It placed him under good old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. And can I just pause for a moment, take a time out and say that that's still what seeing the Lord does to people. Amen. It still causes you to look inside.
Amen.
And say, "Whoa."
Amen.
And God can't use you to help somebody else until you get you right.
Yes.
And then when Isaiah looked up and he looked within, it caused him to look out. God said, "Who will go? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah lifted his hand up and said, "Me.
Amen.
I'll go. Send me." Hey, you think about this. Isaiah was a great prophet in Israel. He didn't question God like Moses did. He didn't question God like Jeremiah did. Isaiah just said, "God, if you're looking for somebody who's willing to go, I'll go." And I'm glad that God uses willing people.
Amen.
God's not looking for somebody special. God's looking for somebody that'll hold their hand up and say, "Me. If you'll use me, I'll go." You see, God has work for everybody in this building to do.
Amen.
Though the work is great, Luke 10:2 says, "Wherefore he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." There's plenty of work to do.
Amen.
Are you willing to go? About 3 years ago, God placed a calling in my life. And I surrendered to that calling and said, "God, I'm willing."
Yeah.
I thought I had my life figured out. I thought I knew what I wanted to do. But God stepped in the middle of my world and said, "Things change today."
Yeah.
And I said, "God, if that's what you want, that's fine with me." See, I just knew God wanted me to go. I didn't know where He wanted me to go and how He wanted me to go. But I remember kneeling down there next to my bed and praying and saying, "God, whatever you've got for me, whatever you want from me, I'll be willing to do it, God."
Amen.
Yes.
I didn't know if I'd be in the jungles of Africa this morning. I didn't know that. But if that's what God said, that's where I would have been. Because I was willing.
Yes.
Whatever He said to do, I was willing to do it. And God, instead of sending me to Africa, He sent me to Knoxville. I'm glad He did.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad for this little work here.
Amen.
But just like God put a calling in my life, God's looking for you.
Amen.
I can't do this on my own.
Amen.
You've got to be a helper in this.
Amen.
Amen.
God has something He wants you to do. You say, "I'm not much good." That's who He's looking
Amen.
For.
Amen.
You'll bring glory to His name. You say, I'm not much. That's good. Maybe you're humble. That's the kind that He likes to use. Now all He's looking for you to do is hold up your hand like Isaiah did and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. God may not want you to stand behind the pulpit. God doesn't want us all to stand behind the pulpit. God doesn't want us all to sing behind the piano. But God wants us all to do something.
Yes. Amen.
God wants us all to do something.
Amen.
Here am I, Lord. Send me. I believe God called those 12 because He knew they would bring glory to His name. He knew they were humble and He knew they were willing to be used.
Amen.
Those are the kinds He uses. And I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if there's somebody here today and you need to pray. Maybe you need to do business with God in whatever manner, whatever fashion the Lord's dealt with your heart in. While we wait for a moment, I wonder if anybody needs to come. These altars are open.